This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice where I tell you you have absolutely no case. If you're injured, need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com. And if you're a lawyer and want to help our listeners, please go to handleonthelaw.com. Click on the Join Today tab at the top of the page.
The following is a pre-recorded program.
Here is a weird one. Not even weird. It's your typical lawsuit against the school district for anything that happens. And this is a suit against a school district, Lakeville Area School District. And here's what happened. You have a bunch of kids, and this is a long time ago, but it finally they lose their lawsuit, and I'll explain because this is up on appeals, etc. So 2015, a bunch of kids play something called Nerf Wars, last student standing kind of thing. And as part of the game, one student and two others kidnap this kid in the school, and that's in quotes, in the parking lot after school that day, in the school parking lot. 5 minutes later, and they're playing this game, and about 3 miles from the school, one of the passengers, one of the kids, bumps the driver, crashes the pickup, everybody dies. Now, the lawsuit says the school knew or should have known the game was being played at school and it was dangerous. The school neglected its duty to intervene and protect the students. Okay, so here are some of the facts. This is important. 7 weeks before the crash, the school's activities director said in an email to the principal and the deans, neighbors were complaining about Nerf wars being played in the community. By the way, that game, quote, in the community was played, was not the game that was played in the parking lot that afternoon, where the kids then got into the truck and they died in the crash. So some students at during the trial testified they believed a few teachers knew about the game because they were active on Twitter. And Twitter was managing the game. Here's what the judge said. No evidence to support that the school district had actual knowledge that Nerf War was being played at the school or on school grounds. And even if the school did know about the game, some of their parents testified, or some parents at the school testified, they knew their child was playing and believed Nerf War was harmless. So this is a stretch. This is when you go after the deep pockets. This is when you have enough damages. I've told you this a million times. If the damages are big enough, a lawyer's going to dive in. In this case, kids dying, I think that's fair to say those damages are pretty high. And so they file the lawsuit and argue that there should be some connection responsibilities. They should have known Nerf wars were played in the parking lot after school. Should have known it was dangerous. Should have known the kids could have gotten in a car. Should have known. Should have known. And the court said not enough connection. You have to have a connection. And this is just a little bit stretchy. Matter of fact, it's a lot stretchy. So they lose. It's dismissed. And it is over. Done. No lawsuit for you. Let's go on. Joanne. Hello, Joanne. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Over the past 3-4 years, I've had breast cancer twice.
Ooh.
And the first time I had radiation, the second time, which was in the last 2.5 years, I've had a year of chemo. And I also found out I have a gene mutation, hence all this. So, but when I had faced it the second time, I decided to have a double mastectomy. And I went to a plastic surgeon about, you know, what the procedures would be. And he said, well, normally when you've had radiation, we don't do an implant on that side because the skin can be compromised. But yours looks good. We shouldn't have any problem. So I had the surgery. And then I had chemo for a year, and then I went back to the surgeon, and he put in the implant. Well, the side with the radiation became infected, and it failed, and he had to take out that implant.
Mm.
So ended up having like 9 surgeries.
Wow.
For this reconstruction. And
yeah.
So I don't know that I have a case, but with one of the surgeries, we were going to do what was a nipple replacement, and he came in and he said, well, This is after he had done the skin flap. And he said, well, this side doesn't quite look even enough. I want to fix it. I think you'll be really happy. So we're not going to do this one surgery today. We're going to do the other. So my husband and I were just like, okay. And but anyway, that's kind of beside the point. After all the surgeries, I have a lot of pain. I have a lot of numbness. And I went to see him, and he said, well, I've done over 500 of these. This has never happened. And he implied that I was lying about my symptoms. And he said, the only thing I can do is put you on gabapentin, which he did. And, I mean, I feel like I'm walking around, like, hanging on a coat hanger. The skin
right, like,
so,
it's just,
so tightly,
gabapentin, but you become a zombie on gabapentin. You know, the good news about gabapentin, you're no longer getting fights with your husband because you're just a noodle there, you're not screaming. Do you have a case? That's actually, it's complicated, but in one sense, but it really isn't on one level. First of all, let me ask you, this is a critically important legal question. Which side, left or right side, did the problems
it's
occur
the right.
on?
Right.
Oh, yeah, see,
right
there
side.
You go. That, God, I wish it was the left, because there's your case. Just kidding. Okay. Was there malpractice? That's the issue. Your damages are plenty. I mean, the suffering that you've gone under is astronomical. No one is going to sit there and argue, oh, you haven't suffered enough. This isn't that big a deal. So on that level, you're obviously covered. Now the issue is, was there malpractice? And if there is a percent, and you signed all kinds of consents, of course,
yes.
saying if you die, you lose your breast, you lose your legs, you lose your head, the doctor isn't responsible,
right.
but that's all crap. You can't waive malpractice. If there's malpractice, the only thing they can force you to do is go to arbitration. So,
yeah.
There is a complication rate of X percent under any circumstances. And
right,
the consent
correct.
Form will say rarely happens. Your chances
okay.
are slim. The fact that the doctor did 500 of these, I would argue, well, then he was due, wasn't he? If there's a 1% complication rate, there should be
yeah.
five of these that he's had. As a matter of fact, he's going to argue that there's never been one, shows how good he is. That actually helps him in your arguing malpractice. So the entire issue, did he do anything wrong? And even if another doctor would not have done that, would have
correct.
Said, I wouldn't have done that, is it within the course of a doctor saying, that's my medical opinion, and no one can really argue because that's not crazy? It's really interesting the way malpractice is not easy to prove. But with that being said, because of what you've gone through, which is horrific, I want you to talk to a medical malpractice attorney. You can go to handleonthelaw.com, and we've got medical malpractice attorneys who will have a conversation with you about that. And they may even go so far as to send out for all the surgical notes, and this is not on you. The lawyer pays for this. And we'll see if you have a case or not, because you've been through the ringer on this one. Good God.
Yeah, I kind of understand if I don't have a case. I mean, I just thought I'd
but
make
find
a phone
out.
Call to you just to...
No, no, but
yeah,
find out.
There.
I mean, if there was malpractice, and there could have been,
yeah.
I just threw out all the legal defenses and the underlying issues. There could very well be malpractice. I don't know. I don't have the surgical notes in front of me. And
yeah.
Even though I'm not particularly a good attorney, or excuse me, well, that's a given, but I'm not a particularly good doctor, although I do play one on radio, it's important for you to talk to someone who is experienced in this. So go to handleonthelaw.com and talk to one of our medical malpractice attorneys. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk.
We are not gonna
Bill Handel, welcome back to Handle on the Law. Marginal Legal Advice. Trinity. Oh, I love that name, Trinity. Hello, Trinity. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Okay, so my daughter has been going to Cal Poly Pomona for, this is her fifth and final year. She has 4 anthropology upper division.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Did we just cut out? What, you're ringing a doorbell while we're talking? Okay. Well, why don't we come back to Trinity? What do you think? I don't think that one was her her problem. Lynn. All right. Let's see if you're at the door. Hi, Lynn. Welcome
Good
to
morning.
Handle on the Law. Lynn?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
My neighbor is in jail.
For what?
He has an illness from an auto accident that started when he was 17.
So he's in jail for being sick?
Pardon?
He's in jail for that. They don't often throw people in jail for being...
Oh, he's not in jail for that, sir.
Oh, okay.
Because of a woman with 2 teenage children who's become a friend of his, she moves into his place, gets him put in jail. Then he gets out of jail. She moves back in. And then... This is the 3rd time this time, and she's had him put in jail again. But because of it being the 3rd time, they believe her. They do not believe him.
Well, apparently. What's the accusation?
I don't truthfully know altogether.
Okay, well, I can see the 1st time, but after she had him put in jail the 2nd time, you think he wouldn't have let her move back into the house? What do you think?
This last time, I know he did not let her move in this last time.
Oh, she just called the cops on him and said, but you don't know what the...
She did. She's narcotic and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She sells it. But anyway, I know she came over there one day. I watched her come. So did a neighbor. She goes up there. She has him arrested again.
Okay, you know what? That's great. All right, so I'm already bored. What is your question about your neighbor?
Is there any kind of an attorney that myself I can even go to try and help him?
Sure. So they're called criminal attorneys. There are all kinds of attorneys. They'll do it all day long. All you have to do is pay them.
Is there an attorney who will ever help him? So, in other words, I pay the attorney and they can.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You hire attorneys. This is what they do, all right? They do the work. It's like a gardener, right? You pay the money and they cut your lawn, right? Same thing with an attorney. You pay the attorney, they do the legal work. Okay, great phone call. Let's go back to Trinity.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. We're back to you. Okay, daughter, anthropology courses. She is in her 5th year, and let me get this right because I'm extrapolating here. And they're not offering the class, correct?
4 classes.
4 classes. They don't offer them, and without those classes, she's not graduating, right?
Correct.
Okay, so now the question is, would they be offering them but for the pandemic? Is this a pandemic issue, have they said?
No, actually, absolutely nobody has responded. Her advisor won't return emails or phone calls. I've called the dean for a week. She's emailed the dean. Another lady I emailed is the assistant to the dean, and she said she would get me in contact with somebody.
Okay.
And hasn't. And I even emailed the president of Cal Poly.
All right, you've done it. Okay, you've done enough. Trinity, you've done enough. So now the ball is in their court. They may have a perfectly good argument, pandemic or whatever, that the courses are not being offered, and your argument of discrimination or your argument of that you're harming me by not letting me graduate because you don't offer the classes, that may fly. But we don't know that yet until they respond. The fact that they're not responding, that is good news for you, even though the whole thing is bad news. It's time to get a lawyer to write a letter. And it is, okay. You want someone who does constitutional issues, constitutional rights, because this is a violation of her right. This is not up through high school, but the fact that they won't even offer the classes and therefore they are stopping her from graduating, that is a legitimate concern. Go to a lawyer. You can try handleonthelaw.com and see if we have a lawyer that deals with this or at least knows a lawyer who deals with this.
So it's not a contract thing.
No, no, I understand. It's not a contract. It's a constitutional law issue. It's a violation of rights is what it is. Yeah, that's why I want you to go to handleonthelaw.com and talk to one of the lawyers who may not be doing this because it's kind of a specialty, but they may know a lawyer. You know, it's I got a guy who knows a guy kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's like you want a Rolex that fell off a truck. I got a guy who knows a guy. And that's what I would do at this point. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com. KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Welcome back to Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice. Pauline. Hello, Pauline. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Good morning, Mr. Handel. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
So my daughter began seventh grade the last week of August, September 2nd. She's online with her earbuds or whatever, the iBuds, and her everything is prescribed by the district. We're in California. And the science teacher says, I'm going to give you 1 minute and 30 seconds to go grab a solid, a liquid, and a gas. Well, our house happens to be bigger than most houses, thank God. And she runs downstairs. The teacher begins to play the Jeopardy song and vocally counting down. She wanted to get a cup of hot water. I don't know this because I can't hear it. She clears the stairs, gets her foot caught in the banister, breaks her foot, herniates two discs. We find out she has congenital spinal stenosis. Subsequently, she develops CRPS. When I found out that it was just a broken foot, I had emailed the teacher because I was a teacher, and I just said, you know, hey, Mrs. X, I just wanted to let you know this is what happened to my daughter. And she said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen. So on and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. You want to know if there's any recourse for you. It's an interesting case, and there may be for part of it. I think everything that happens subsequent to the discovery of the osteoporosis, there's no way anybody could have known about that.
Spinal stenosis.
I don't know if anybody, how do you put those together? Look at me now. If you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have broken my foot. I wouldn't have discovered I had spinal stenosis. This wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened. So there is a cutoff, assuming there's liability. Now, the teacher saying you got a minute and a half to come up with effectively a scavenger hunt that's a limited scavenger hunt that you didn't know in advance, the argument that, hey, that's really unreasonable, and it is easily foreseen that some kid running around could easily have hurt himself or herself. There's no issue about that. Now, the teacher said, well, I didn't know, I didn't understand. Okay, fine. So there wasn't anything malicious about it. Right. But there's no reason for your daughter not to have believed the teacher and said, I have to do it. So is there liability? Yeah, there might be. But you're dealing with a school board. You're dealing with a governmental entity where you are going to clearly have a fight on your hands. You have 6 months after the accident in which to file a claim. And you have to file a claim because even though the statute may be 2 or 3 years, you don't file that claim within 6 months. It's over. And you're saying this happened just a few months ago, correct?
It happened September 2nd.
Oh, yeah. You're well within. Okay. You're well within the statute. Okay.
Yeah. Duty of care. I mean, this is seventh grade.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. There is a duty. Did the teacher breach that duty? Did that breach cause the accident? And the way I see it, up to that point, yeah, it's all connected.
The CRPS is what I'm.
Yeah, but there's nothing. But that you're not. You cannot. First of all, you cannot blame the CRPS on that, because first of all, what is CRPS worth over a lifetime? Is it moderate CRPS? Is it debilitating CRPS?
She hasn't walked. I've been bathing her.
Okay, so that, but, and I understand this is serious stuff. I'm not, but what is that word?
And it's right at the foot. It's right at the foot.
Yeah, no, I know what that, believe me, I have a friend of mine who has CRPS, and it's brutal. For people that don't know what CRPS is, it is horrific.
It is.
I've seen it firsthand. All right. So what I'm going to tell you is, all right, I want you to talk to a personal injury lawyer to see where you go on this, because as always, the damages are severe enough, and it sure smells like that the duty of care was breached. That's what I'm seeing. But then again. And there's a question of some kinds of limited immunity also. Does the teacher, does the school board have some kind of limited immunity? And that's what a personal injury lawyer will tell you. Figure that out, yes or no. All right. Amy, I haven't had one of those in a while. Do I get the money? I want the money. Gee, will you find me the money question? All right, Amy.
I just want to do the right thing and have
yes, ma'am.
It distributed properly. So my grandmother's trust was to be distributed to my mom upon her death, but my mom never did that. And then 5 years later, my mom passed away. Everything's still in the name of my grandmother's trust, the properties, bank accounts, everything. There was a clause that said if my mom were to predecease her mother, then it would go to her heirs, which is myself and my sister. But then my mother has a trust that says anything in her trust goes to all of the children, their stepchildren.
Yeah, but wait a sec. But here's the problem is now your mom didn't do anything about it. And so she didn't predecease her mom. All she did is not distribute, correct?
Correct.
Ooh. All right. That's a good one. Do we assume that mom gets the money, or her estate gets the money, and then it's distributed to the kids? Or does the original trust stay intact as if your mother was, his grandmother died first? Boy, that's an interesting one. You want the answer? Here's the answer.
Well,
I don't know.
It's going to be decided on December 16th, but I'm just wondering which way you think it
is. I don't know. That's exactly why I was going to say you got to talk to a trust and estate lawyer, because it could go either way. That is an interesting case. I've never had a case, but then I don't do trust and estates, although I do play one of those lawyers on radio. How much money are we talking about here?
About $500,000.
Yeah, so it's a chunk. And how many heirs or beneficiaries that are fighting for this thing?
Five
of you. It's 100 grand a piece.
It should be distributed to the two biological.
I understand where you're going, but there's a legal issue here.
Right.
So I'll tell you what. I have no idea, but let me know afterwards, because this is fascinating. You've intrigued me on this one. Let me know, because I'd love to know which way the courts are going. This is Handle on the Law.